This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. It's the final hour of the show. News trickling in about names that were rumored to be on the move. Chris Harris Jr. and the Broncos, barring a last-minute push from a random team, does not look like he will be moved. So there's that. A lot of other smoke, no, but not fire moves that were reported. As you mentioned, no Jamal Adams deal to the Cowboys. The Jets wide receiver was Robbie Anderson. He was rumored to be on the block, but the highest offer that the Jets got was a fourth. They wanted a second, so it doesn't look like he's going to move. No A.J. Green traction. So disappointing that it did turn out to be a regular NFL trade deadline.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? You got teams that ask for too much. You got teams not willing to pay it. And when that happens, and it happens a lot in the NFL, this is what you get at the trade deadline. There was still some movement, though. There were still some names that moved in the weeks
early,
prior.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Peterson was a guy that could have helped some teams.
Especially us, were amped up for a big trade deadline. When you're on air, it's the coolest. It usually happens while we're on air.
That's fantastic.
So that's always fun. But yeah, kind of a letdown. But yeah.
It's like the best reason to do the slot that we have. Because obviously, ideally, everybody says that in radio, you want the morning or the evening drive.
Right.
But when you're in the afternoons and you get the NBA trade deadline and the NFL trade deadline.
MLB trade deadline.
Or playoff games during the day in baseball, those kind of things are cool.
Yep. There are some advantages to being midday.
No doubt about it.
For sure.
So again, maybe it's possible that discussions happen late, and because they're already reported to the league like they do in baseball and basketball, maybe we'll see some late movement. But if not, then basically all of much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Pretty much. Boy, you know what? After tomorrow or tonight, there's no more baseball. It's football as usual, and then basketball ramping up. But I'm going to miss, especially now with basketball, where they try to limit back-to-backs, right? And that's been a thing that the NBA has been after, is trying to limit back-to-back games. I really like baseball because it seems like there was something to watch every night.
Yep.
Except July.
Now you got
the
basketball,
week of 4th of July.
Which you love.
So like I said,
I mean, you got Tuesdays. What TNT still do their national games on Tuesdays and Thursdays night? Thursday
they got
nights?
Thursdays. They thank God for you. They got rid of players only, but they're going.
Oh,
to,
thank God.
But they're going to still have games on Tuesdays. ESPN has doubleheader Wednesdays and Fridays. So yeah, I mean, pretty much
Tuesday
every night
Thursday
of the week you can
TNT.
Have NBA basketball.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is basketball. Either ESPN or TNT. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's always
during the week.
Okay.
And then
obviously Monday and is football Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday. Well,
and then
Saturday
after Christmas, you get ABC on the weekend game, Saturday night and Sunday.
I'm trying
afternoon.
To paint the average sports calendar in a week for you, like the average sports.
Right.
Monday, Monday night football. Tuesday,
yes.
The not players only basketball. Wednesday, and then you'll have college basketball starting up too.
I'm out on that. You know that. I'm not watching.
Okay, so then Wednesday you got ESPN doubleheaders for NBA. Thursday, TNT doubleheaders NBA. Friday, ESPN on NBA and NBA ESPN. So your whole week, and then Saturday you got college football. Sunday you got NFL football.
Okay.
I mean, you guys do a real good job recapping Major League bow hunting, so we can always go to that.
Oh, yes.
So
that is true.
And if you ever get Major League breastfeeding to be a thing, you could be the commissioner.
What on earth?
Is that something Julia Rose is a part of?
Although maybe you could get her to be like your commissioner, kind of like the Big Three got Clyde, and then maybe that thing takes flight.
By the way, you should check out that interview. The full interview is on Podcast Arena and Audio Boom. But there's a clip of it on Instagram, on ESPN 97.5's Instagram and Twitter. That was a really good interview with Julia Rose. She's pretty honest and pretty cool about the whole situation.
She did one local Houston TV station, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You guys would have laughed and killed me. But I will tell you this, that I was sitting at the table last night, and Lisa's like, did you see those two chicks behind home plate that showed their boobs when you were up watching the game last night? I go, you know what's weird? I must have missed it. I went to let the dogs out during between innings. She's like, yeah, and one of the TV stations had him on the air, too. She had her on the air, like Skype, and it was a bad interview. I go, God, who would do that? And I just walked out of the room. It's crazy.
It's 305, Joel.
It's all right. You're right. It is close. I am pushing the envelope.
It's funny because same thing. We were my wife. We were in the kitchen making dinner. I was like, "Did you see those girls that flashed their breasts on?" She goes, "I saw that." Ugh,
disgusting. Hose.
Yeah, she was like, "That's just like have a little self respect." I was like, "Well, you know why they did it, right?" She was like, "Oh, yeah, because they were like, oh, breast cancer awareness, whatever. You're just trying to get your Instagram followers up." I was like, I mean, one of them already has 2.5 million. That's a lot." She's like, "How do you know that?" I was like, "I mean, we may have had her on the show." "Oh, you had her on the show?" I was like, "Maybe like 6 years ago."
You guys have to break it lightly.
Yes. 6 years ago, and then I started following her then.
You don't know until
and
you
now,
know.
And, you know, I mean, like, so I had to explain it to Nora, and she just looked at me like, "You son of a bitch. Like, what?" I was trying to, you know, like ease into it. I wouldn't be like, "Hey, you know the girl with the boobs? Had her. What?" You had to ease into it. You don't just come out and
blame
say
me.
It.
Say Nick booked it and that's it.
Oh, I did. I was
you did book it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally
did. But even if I don't, you should always blame. Like, even if I
didn't, true.
You should still do it.
"Oh, yeah, we got a whore from Vegas, but I didn't book it. Nick did." That was totally all him.
Can he crash this weekend?
Exactly. Yeah, I realized real quick that my wife did not think it was a good story. But I tried to save it because I was like, "But babe, you realize why they did it?" "Yeah, because they're IG." I was like, "No, they were trying to raise awareness for breast cancer." "Whatever." And I was like, "And did you hear what they're doing with the money that their website makes?" She was like, "No." Which, by the way, did you see how much their website makes a month?
No.
So they apparently Darren Ravel was like talking to Julia.
Of course he was.
And tweeting about it. Shag Mag makes $125K a month.
Damn.
And so I was like, "Babe, that means that they're going to take all the money they make this month from the promo and everything else, and they're going to give it to females who have fought breast cancer and have hospital bills and they can't pay them."
But the other 11 months, are they giving it away too?
Well, hell no, they're running a business.
I was going to say.
What kind of business does that?
They're rich.
But so I thought, here's where I redeem myself and I don't get in trouble. And we were making chili and she just stirred it and she looked up. She goes, "Mm-hmm." And just, I was like, "All right, well, I'm going to go watch the game now because I'm obviously not winning this argument. This is not happening." But yeah, she wasn't having it. I don't think the females believed any of it.
I think you're right.
I think it's just us dudes. And the best picture was actually not one from the TV. It was one from the crowd where everybody was turned around. Somebody took a picture next to her, and it was like, that was the best picture if you didn't have it. It was from, I think I tweeted it out, but yeah, I had to cover it though, just in case, you know, I don't know. I didn't want to be tweeting out nudity, get in trouble. But yeah, it was a great picture from somebody sitting next to her, I guess. Like right there, just close up of her, you know, her things, and that was it. So, if you want to see it,
I didn't. Did you share it?
I could get the original for you.
Okay,
it's in my history.
I bet it is. okay, Ian Rappaport reporting: Browns aren't making trades. Lions aren't making trades. Bengals didn't trade anyone. Bucks didn't trade anyone. Jets didn't trade anyone. They all had players that people wanted, including another defensive back that everybody wanted, which was Darius Slay of the Lions. The Bucks with O.J. Howard. The Bengals with A.J. Green. The Browns were desperate to get offensive line help and wanted Trent Williams. He's not going anywhere. The Redskins didn't do anything, and the Jets didn't do anything. So, again, that's the NFL trade deadline in one sound. If you can't do...
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much a letdown. It was a poop.
Bad. That's too bad.
That's it. That's the best way to describe it. Somebody texted and said, "Oh, no sports means more time for lawn talk."
Nope.
Like it?
Just found something else, you guys. And Nick, where were you on this? I guess because you were in the stands with Mom on this one. Did you guys realize during the Pelicans-Rockets game Saturday night, a Rockets fan punched New Orleans Pelicans assistant coach Joe Boylan in the face?
A Rockets fan did?
Yeah.
Come on, Houston. We're better
than
that.
According to an ESPN News report.
That's terrible.
Out of Houston, a Rockets fan has been charged with assault after allegedly punching a Pelicans coach at the end of the game between the two teams. Prosecutors charged Manuel Garcia with misdemeanor assault for allegedly punching the assistant coach in the face. His girlfriend also arrested as she was trying to prevent police from getting to him. The Rockets have banned the fan for life.
Dumbass.
which I think they should do.
We're so much better than that as a city. Stop punching people in the stands, you idiots.
Harris County DA's office prosecutor Nathan Beadle says he's not going to speculate on what motivated the fan, but they said, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will hold them both accountable for their actions, which they should.
Good, yeah.
Because the other thing that I like, unlike the Mavs, when I said that Tim McMahon, the ESPN reporter, said the other night, the guy that was supposedly banned because he got back in that altercation with Beverly was back the other night sitting courtside and no explanation. Here, there's no wiggle room. If the Rockets said you're banned for life, I better not see these people at a Rockets game ever again.
Dumbass. He should be in jail for assault for a while.
During yesterday's game, there were three separate times in Toyota Center where there was a disclaimer or a video on the big screen warning, about conduct and not. And it's becoming very prevalent in all stadiums across all major sports. I talked about this before because it's obviously becoming a problem. It's not one city.
Here's what I don't like, though, guys. At the end of this report from ESPN, you know what they said? The incident came after an Astros fan was arrested for allegedly slapping a Yankees fan during the ALCS this month in Houston. Have you watched what's gone on at Yankee Stadium during that series?
But you know what that one is, right? That's the old man that used to be a justice of the peace.
Oh, that's the 73-year-old man that hit the young man. Yankee fan. Yeah. But
somebody called him the justice of the two-piece.
So, but my point is, ESPN wants to mention this so one, good. But they don't want to mention the video that's all over of the guy waiting until the Astros fans taking a leak at the urinal and he fires a beer off his shoulder.
I mean, they did. Trust me, Yankees
when El Jefe got pelted with all that crap going up the aisle after
fans
the
got
game.
Plenty of hate and national run for it.
But I'm saying, if you're going to put that in an article, don't just blame it on Houston, because now it's just the Astros fans did this after the Rockets fan did that. Yankees fans have done plenty too.
Be better, Houston, and then we won't be embarrassed like that as a city. Be better, idiots. Not you, them.
Just don't be Yankee fans.
Yeah, don't be Yankees fans. We're better than that as a city and as a people.
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. So the trading deadline came and went. And by the way, out of Ken Rosenthal at Minute Maid Park right now, Max Scherzer is currently throwing in the outfield and told him, quote, I'm good, which means get it done tonight, in my mind.
Yes, for sure.
Let's not mess don't with Scherzer in a game seven if you don't have to.
Nope.
All right, much more coming up, including Lance Zierlein. We're going to roll through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show rolls on. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are getting you everything, including all that we've already given you leading up to Game 6 of Astros-Nats tonight from Minute Maid. A story that we've covered in detail in the past is getting more interesting. As we talked about when California passed the law that college athletes were going to be able to control their own likeness and make money even while competing in college sports, the NCAA obviously didn't like it. So subsequently, the NCAA has taken the opportunity to do a little internal review, and their top decision makers have voted unanimously to start the process of modifying their rules and allowing college athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses, quote, in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. And I don't know where that wiggle room is and how you interpret that, and I think that's something they're going to have to do. Now, the kicker, though, is, of course, that nothing will start until 2021, regardless of what they decide.
I can see that.
So there's a little time.
Yeah, it takes a little time to get it right, I'm sure, and you know, put in any clauses and make sure that, because I think the big thing is you, and they even say as much, but they're not trying, what they don't want to do is allow this and then create a substantial competitive imbalance. Well, that already exists, all right? If you don't, I mean, the NCAA football is very top heavy. There is a competitive imbalance when it comes to recruiting. Right. So I think that what happens is you have to look at this and say, well, we can't control California as a state. We're not that big. And if they're going to allow players to do that and players are going to go there and still play and put on a good product on the field but be able to get paid to do it, we better either get on board or get left behind. And I think this is the NCAA being reactionary to the California law, but good for them for doing it.
Of the three divisions of the NCAA, the board goes on to say that all changes should make sure student-athletes have the same opportunities to make money as all other students, maintain the priorities of education and the collegiate experience, and ensure that rules are transparent, focused, and enforceable, and do not create a competitive imbalance, as the board wants each division of the NCAA to make sure these rules are in place by January of 2021. And the board chair said, we must embrace change to provide the best possible experience for college athletes.
Yep.
And additional flexibility in this area can and must continue to support college sports as part of higher education. This is the modernization for the future and a natural extension of numerous steps the NCAA members have taken, but they don't want it to be like pro athletes where you're actually paid to play and you get so much, you know.
And somebody tweeted me when they talked about it and said, is this a step closer to the NCAA football coming back for like PlayStation and so forth? And that's exactly what this means, is that now all those players can get a check for being a part of the video game. And that makes it okay, because it has nothing to do with playing in a specific school and that school or their boosters paying you. This is an outside entity that wants to pay you as a college football player for your likeness in a video game. So it absolutely is a step towards that. But it also means these kids can go out and make money on their autograph or signing a picture of themselves or a jersey or whatever.
Appearances.
Yep. They are allowed to do all that stuff now and make money on it, and rightfully so. Because, again, the NCAA maybe able to control the football on the field, but you can't control a kid's image off the field.
Absolutely not. And you know, it's like someone said, and I was looking for the best analogy, and I said, if you'd authored a book and you're going to college and, you know, maybe you're in some form or another on some form of scholarship from the university, but you go out at a bookstore and you do a book signing.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA can't keep you from doing that.
No, they shouldn't be able to. Like the kid that had the YouTube channel.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He was a kicker.
Yeah, if he's making $10,000 a month on YouTube doing something that has nothing to do with football, or even if it did, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't give the school he pays for or plays for an advantage if he's getting paid for YouTube.
And like I always go back to, the Fab Five story to me is, if a Chris Webber jersey is bringing the university and Nike each millions and millions of dollars, and Chris Webber can't personally afford to buy a pizza, there's a problem with that.
Yep.
You know, obviously the colors and the actual uniform, that's Michigan. But do you really think you're going to sell that much if it didn't have Weber 4 on it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's work to be done. At least there's open-minded progress from the NCAA, because the first that we had heard of it was that the NCAA was just going to extradite all of California out of the NCAA and everybody else was just going to play by their rules. And we had said, look, you're going to get New York to jump on board, Florida. I don't know if Texas would be one of the ones they'd want to get on board, and each state would have their own separation and their own league or however they wanted to do it. This, at least because the powers that be are being open-minded, gives you some hope that they can work something out.
I think it's a great step in the right direction, and I think that it's been long overdue. And now I'm double glad that California did what they did, because there's no doubt that, you know, these old men would have definitely kept this status quo had California not stepped in and said, nah, this isn't right and we're going to change it. And, you know, they're going to be, it looks like they're the catalyst for getting the NCAA itself to look at things differently. So good for them, and kudos to everybody involved in California that made that happen.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. The other thing that I think just kind of gets swept under the rug, NCAA has basically been sweeping money into their pockets and just raking in all the benefits from March Madness, from the bowl games and the college football playoffs, and other sports as well, the College World Series on ESPN and that TV deal. And it's time that the wealth gets spread out, because without the athletes, you don't have the games that make the TV deals that get you the revenue that you're getting.
Keep in mind, you're not spreading the wealth. This isn't coming out. None of this money is coming out of the NCAA's pocket.
I'm talking to the universities, though, still. I'm saying
no, but you're not spreading the wealth. They're keeping all their money, and that's also why they're doing this, because they don't want these student athletes coming after their money.
They're saying
go get your own money.
Yeah.
Go sign your autographs and get your $100 here and your $1,000 there, but don't touch ours. This is our money, and you kids aren't getting any of it. I know you're earning it for us, but you're not getting any of it, that's been the big argument. At least let these kids make money off their own likeness. They're already making y'all millions in exchange for a $50,000 scholarship or whatever it is.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing, though. But that my bigger point was, the NCAA has just been printing free money.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
Sure.
And no one's ever put, you know, it was so hypocritical for them to say, well, we don't want our athletes to have a chance to make any money, when all they've been doing is profiting off of their athletes and the games that they play.
Just to chop it up for a second, D'Angelo Hall on Twitter, somebody tagged
former
us on this.
Former defensive back?
Yeah, he at NFL Network, Trent Williams just reported to Washington Redskins. Don't know if that's true or not, but that is according to D'Angelo Hall.
Well, I guess if you're not going to get traded, then you're just going to try and make sure you recoup some of your salary from this year.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether you know, because the other thing is you could pull up with an injury real quick after you reported.
Schefter did report. Staff. He said 7 minutes ago, a big move on deadline day. Trent Williams' holdout is over. Per source, he has reported back to the Redskins. Schefter also said Ravens were actively going after the Jets safety, Jamal Adams, per source, but Ravens and the Jets could not reach an agreement.
So. Can you imagine having Earl Thomas and Jamal Adams in the same defensive backfield? You talk about guys bringing the house.
Stout.
Man.
Yep. That is stout.
And that's Ravens football. It's always been predicated on the defensive side of the ball. So
yep.
I'm disappointed, though, that that we didn't get a plethora of moves at the deadline.
Kind of sucks.
And some of the good teams got better.
Yeah. It would have been a lot more fun. Instead, we had to talk about Cologne.
People got really intensely involved in that.
The text line just absolutely lit up over the Cologne conversation.
Yeah.
Tons of folks. Walt texted us. He said, great job, guys, on getting to number one. I'm very proud to witness the growth. Y'all couldn't have done it without me. So true, Walt. We love you, buddy.
Yep, appreciate
Walt's
you,
Walt. Walt's been a big supporter for sure, as have many of the suspects. I just got my MyBookie account. How much would you bet for the Astros to win tonight? Okay. Well, I'm certainly not going to tell you how much money to spend, because it's your money. If you were asking me who I would bet, I'm probably taking the Astros in this one. But I'm proud of you for getting on my bookie, because that is the play. And if you want to be like that listener and so many others, and you want to maybe get some action on this World Series game, or maybe the Texans down the stretch or whatever it is, there's no better place on the planet to put your money than in MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. They've got odds on all the games out there, more prop bets than any other sports book. So you know you're going to get whatever it is you're looking for as far as wagering goes. And yes, they have the teasers and the parlays and all the other things that you want to do. But here's the cool thing, man. Nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. You don't want to, you don't want to be betting with some no-name sports book that you're not sure if you're going to get your money out of. You bet with the best. You bet with the pros at MyBookie. You can even bet after kickoff. That's how cool MyBookie is. They got all kinds of stuff you can do over there. It's absolutely outstanding. So be like that listener that just texted the show. Get on board with MyBookie. And, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, but have some fun while you watch the games. Put a little scratch on it if you're interested in that. Bet smart, bet with my bookie. And guys, I hope like that listener probably did, because he listens and he knows better. When you go sign up with my bookie, make sure you put in promo code radio, and they will double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. It's outstanding. It's why I love them so much. It's why so many people are jumping on board with MyBookie to get action on games. So do yourself a favor right now. Go log on to MyBookie, set up an account, use promo code radio to get that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Expecting Lance Zierlein at some point in the final half hour to join us and talk about all the moves that didn't happen in the NFL. We've already told you that Trent Williams, the left tackle of the Redskins that's been holding out all season, is back in at Redskins facility. So you got to believe he just wants to recoup some of his money before the end of the season and hopes in the offseason that will get them to trade him somewhere. So we'll have to see what happens there because there was a guy that people were inquiring about, including the Cleveland Browns, and that didn't happen. So
we got Lance walking in the
interesting,
studio.
That didn't go down. And as we speak, Lance Zierlein is going to join us now. And LZ, much ado about nothing, as I'm glad you're finally in the fold since you only joined the number one show in the city.
And well, you and Matt Thomas.
It's about, yeah, well, like we said, what should we do? Let's get Lance on. So with all that being said, everybody was kind of all this buildup leading up to the deadline. Man, this could be a lot of fireworks, a lot of names you wouldn't expect. And then there's the names that were big names that were possibly available. A.J. Green and Patrick Peterson and all these different guys. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah, a little bit, unless you look at it in totality, which is, you know, there were like 17 trades made this year before the deadline. So if you look at it, if you're just waiting for today, I didn't think it was going to go crazy today. I expected it to be mostly talk, but I think it's changing more and more every year. I think every year we're going to see a change, and I think by next year we're going to really see some fireworks on trade deadline day.
You feel the league wants that? Because they love the suspense of Woj bombs all the way up to the NBA deadline. The fact that now that the baseball deadline has gone from two deadlines to one, and everybody knows what happened when the Astros got Verlander and how those deals can really change the balance of power in baseball. The football would love to have something like that.
I think it energizes. It gives another shot of energy to look, this is a different brand of player. Like these players, Jamal Adams is openly trying to get out of the Jets and go to Dallas. And that was one of those guys that, you know, we consider to be a culture changer. He wants to get in the locker room and blah, blah, blah. He's been in the league 2 years. He wants to go to Dallas. It's just how it is now. So with that being the case, and with more and more younger front office personnel guys looking at I think, picks as an opportunity to get what you want now and play for the now, the 3 to 5 years. Because the idea of the 5 to 7 year plan is it's pretty passe. And we're seeing it with Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's gone, and he was a 2014, he was a first round pick. Khalil Mack was a phenomenal football player. He's gone. He's not with the Raiders anymore. Marcus Peters, all pro, gone. I mean, these guys, Leonard Williams, first pick of the draft, or well, he wasn't first pick. He was my top rated guy. He's like, sixth in 2015. He was traded to the Giants. So you did have some name guys traded, and now it's more about positioning yourself. Like we're starting to see the baseball mentality of, hey, I mean, for the Jets to even be talking about, I get Le'Veon Bell, but for them to be talking about Jamal Adams moving him, that just goes to show you that there's now a concept of. Now, I don't know if this is the right decision or not, but potentially dumping current players for draft capital so you can hit reset with an even cheaper group.
The Dolphins.
Not the Dolphins. I'm sorry, the Jets.
But I'm saying the Dolphins are just looking to sell every asset doing. Just to try to get as many
picks.
Young
They're up to 14 picks, three firsts, two seconds. They got two compensatory picks that they are going to get, and then – you know, they traded for Aqib Talib so they could basically get a fifth rounder. So they took on the money that's owed to him. They bought. It's a pretty expensive.
Can they cut him then, and can he go to a contender?
He's on the IR anyway.
I know. He's not due to be back till week 11, but I don't know. I know how the NBA works. But if he wasn't traded to a contender, could Miami, they got the pick they wanted, cut him, and could he go?
Yeah, but I'd have to check. I mean, his money is guaranteed.
He's making a lot of money.
They have to pay some of it.
Unless somebody picked him up off waivers.
Yeah.
And if they didn't pick him up off waivers, he could start to sign a new contract. But, yeah, there's a potential that could happen.
Isn't it ironic, though, that two teams currently trying to rebuild and move quality players like Jamal Adams, and we saw, like, you know, the Dolphins moving their left tackle.
Yeah.
But they're both in a division dominated by one team, and who probably, though, we don't know how much longer that domination is going to last, really. I mean,
it's almost like they're trying to stockpile.
They're getting
ammunition.
Ahead of it. They're like, maybe 2 years left. Yeah. Maybe he plays for two more, Brady. And then so we'll just keep piling picks and keep tanking. And then when he's gone, it's our turn and we'll make an extended run.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it that way, but that may very well be what Miami's thinking. I mean, look, they're not going to be good. They knew they weren't going to be good. And maybe this is all about saying, let's have this. Because
Jets,
remember,
too, because they got a quarterback.
Yeah.
They think they got a quarterback. So they literally said everyone except him is tradable.
We'll find out how that goes. I don't know. You know, I don't know about the personalities of Leonard Williams and Jamal Adams, because that's the weird thing is these are cornerstone type of
you're giving up on some fundamental high players. Draft picks that, as you know, were highly rated coming out of college. Very quickly, you're going, you know what? We're going to show you the
core
door.
Players.
Yeah,
and you got a third and a fifth that's going to potentially turn into a fourth for Williams. I mean, that's a third and a fourth. For Leonard Williams, you got a third for Clowney, but then you see guys like Mohamed Sanu. You get a second for Mohamed Sanu, a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Clowney, Tunsil, two firsts and a second. Two firsts and something else for Jalen Ramsey. I mean, it's kind of crazy the movement that we're seeing right now. But that is, Barry, that's a really interesting thought, and I think that's probably what's going on is they just say, look, let's just gear it up, man. Was it Blackwater? What was it on? What was the name of that war that they were getting ready for? Like season three of Game of Thrones, where Tyrion Lannister got his face cut. I think it was the Battle of Blackwater.
Yes,
I think
so.
But they were just like war was coming.
It's coming,
and they were just stockpiling all their ammunition, getting everything ready. Well, that's like
but
what
the
Miami's
other thing
doing.
You got to think about with Flores in Miami, and because he comes from the New England culture, he wants players that. Go with his, that are locker room guys that fit his culture too.
Yeah.
So if you get some of these guys, Adams is a very outspoken guy with the Jets. We know that, you know. And if they don't fit the culture, and especially if he walked into a hornet's nest, and so if you're gonna
Gase,
no, I'm talking about Flores in Miami to walk into that deal and know you're gonna lose, and you know how tough it is as a coach. You get your first opportunity. If you lose and you lose badly, it's tough to get a second chance. Mm-hmm. So you need enough years, and you also need enough at least control to be able to say, I need my kind of players in this locker room. So Minka Fitzpatrick is another guy, high draft pick, but he's gone because maybe he didn't fit culturally.
Staggering, though. He played at Alabama.
Yes.
All I can tell you is that Ozzie Newsome and from Baltimore and Bill Belichick have a history of drafting Alabama guys because they got ties with Nick Saban. And so for Brian Flores, who has the Belichick ties, to get rid of Minka, that was – You know, that's when I knew things were different. Like, how are you moving Minka Fitzpatrick in year two this quickly? How is this happening? I can't really explain it because he is a culture guy.
I mean, even the Tunsil, though, too. That's
a foundational position,
left tackle.
Yep.
There was threats of revolt in that locker room if he moved Tunsil.
Yeah, but, you know, you got so much in exchange for Tunsil. Yeah, I mean, you got so much. I cannot stress this enough. Two firsts and a second. Yeah, and stills, but stills they could have just gotten rid of and it wouldn't have. You got two firsts and a second. Those are major, major potential building blocks if you hit your evaluations right.
Yeah.
And I think it just got to the point where Miami thought they'd throw a big number out there, and once Houston said, yeah, let's do it, Miami's like, okay.
So let's real quick. Do you – because people are asking, like, if you're the Texans front office, should you be embarrassed the fact that you have no assets to make moves on at this point? And we talked about a little bit today, but what are your thoughts? Because we agreed and maybe disagreed a little bit, but should they be embarrassed, or were there all the moves that they made that they have to be made?
Well, so I think that there was maybe some potential embarrassment about, look, they didn't really have a good feel. Bill O'Brien didn't have a good feel for value of some of those picks. Mm-hmm. Like, You don't trade a fourth that's going to become a third for Duke Johnson. I know Duke's played well, and I like him, but that's really more of a fifth-round pick that you give up for that. You probably could have played hardball and ended up getting Laremy Tunsil without giving away an additional first. You may have had to get creative, but you might have been able to do, you know, a first, a second, and a third, something like that. But they got good football players. They got what they wanted, which was immediate help at running back. They got immediate help on the offensive line. Their two rookies have played pretty well when they've been healthy, speaking of Titus Howard. And so with Clowney, you know, they got that third-round pick and then dealt that third-round pick for Gerrion Conley. In essence, you traded Conley – you traded Clowney for Conley. I don't think that's going to go well.
No, and where did you have him coming out?
Who?
Conley.
I thought Conley – me personally, I thought he was a second-round player who would go in the first just because he ran – he's height, weight, speed. He had the physical dimensions. He played a high-leverage position. But then once he had the issues with sexual assault looming, I thought he could fall to, like, the fifth. Mm. I was really surprised they took him where they did because I'm not entirely sure he wouldn't have fallen in that draft.
But then now, based on how he's performed once he's gotten into the league, was he worth that?
No. He didn't play. I mean, they just traded a player at a position that's very important, cornerback, for a third. I mean, they parlayed a first to a third, which is, you know, you don't feel great about it. But by the same token, I think they were happy to get something. And the fact that they traded him to the team that they were getting ready to play shows you that they had no fear of going against Gerrion Conley.
And rightfully so.
I mean, they had no fear. Yeah. So I think there are some things with the Texans, but it's credit card spending. So the fans will just get excited about, look how good Tunsil's playing. Look at Duke Johnson, how he's playing. And you fix your offensive line and all that. And I get that. But the credit card's going to come due.
Yep.
So when it's draft day and everyone's like, oh, this roster's not going to get any better this year. Mm-hmm. And J.J. Watt might be retiring. Like, well, what are we going to do about pass rush? What are we going to do about corner? This is a hypothetical. They could say, man, Conley stinks. J.J.'s retiring. Bradley Roby left via free agent. Like, we got Lonnie Johnson who's okay, but we really need another corner. We need a pass rusher for J.J. Need a pass rusher on the other side of Whitney Merciless. Yeah. What are we going to do about the wide receiver position because they really – you know, we really miss Will Fuller. Like, these are questions that are going to come up potentially in the off season that you don't have to deal with now when you're going to say, damn it, it would have been nice to have some draft
picks. And we said they got better in the short term.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was almost as if Bill O'Brien finally said, you know what, at a certain point, the check's going to have to come due, and they're going to start coming for me, so I'm going to try and do everything to win now, and then the unforeseen variable is injuries that you couldn't predict to a J.J. Watt.
I'm going to predict they move Matt Barzignan, I think. I can't remember his last name. I like him. Personnel director they have. I'm going to predict that they're going to move him to quote-unquote general manager because I don't think anyone's going to want to take this job with no draft picks over the next 2 years.
I was going to say, if you're Caceres and you're free, why would you come here with no food in the cupboard?
You got to pay. So you didn't get a deal done with Tunsil, which NFL people think that's the big mistake because now he's going to ask for about $23 million.
And he's going to get it, or he looks really stupid.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay it, or they lose all those draft picks for nothing. Yeah. So he's going to wallet whip them badly. Deshaun's going to get about $40 million a year. So those two guys are going to get 60 plus. So the next GM who comes in here is going to say, "Wow," and you're going to have to pay Bradley Roby if you want to keep him. So the next GM is going to come in and say, "Okay, all this money is going to be spent, or we'll be a little bit more limited with free agency." Although you do pick up J.J.'s contract, maybe J.J.'s
contract.
If he retires,
that's a big boost.
Exactly.
Lamar Miller's gone.
Whitney Merciless, we'll wait and see. Yeah. I don't think Whitney redid a deal, did he? But anyway, what you could be looking at, Joel, is you could have a GM go, why would I go over there? I don't have draft picks to build a team.
I was going to say, I have no cap space, I have no draft picks, and I have no chance of winning.
Yeah. Well,
to get to the level that they want to get to, right? Because you got the Colts. Mm-hmm. The Jags are better.
And by the way, DeAndre Hopkins' name being floated around as a potential trade before the trade deadline, it died off. But I would not – I'm just telling you now, I would keep an eye out for that.
Really?
I don't know that things are always going to be copacetic between DeAndre Hopkins and members of the Texans organization. So I would keep an eye out for DeAndre Hopkins versus Texans. Oh, it'd be crazy. It'd be crazy. You're talking about an uproar. You'd have to get an absolute key. I mean, no.
If you gave up two ones and a two. Yeah, but if you gave up 2 ones and a two to get a guy like Laremy Tunsil, and I get it.
It's hard to find left tackles, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
the supply and demand, the supply side is really low. The supply side on receivers is usually a little higher. But regardless, I mean, this is a high-end wide receiver. But at some point, I think there's some frustration with the team that he doesn't practice every day. That he didn't practice a whole lot last year. And then I know this year you can look at the practice stuff. Like, he takes a lot of days off because he's a veteran. But I think that maybe irritates Bill O'Brien some. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see Bill O'Brien's relationship. Bill O'Brien, the head coach,
irritates
and GM.
Bill O'Brien irritates a lot of people on the flip side.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. Would you rather have D-Hop and a new coach, or would you rather have a coach that's irritated by a guy that practices a lot, but when he plays pretty well?
Yeah. I mean, well, if you want to get rid of the coach, if you want to pay for another coach, knock yourself out. I'm good either way. Personally, I mean, whatever way you want to do it is fine, but I do know that it's going to be this Nick Caserio talk. I think it's done.
Yeah,
because he's not going to want to come
here
with no draft picks
and
no
cap room
and no cap and not enough cap room. There's nothing to do as a GM.
What a mess! Who you got? Astros, Nats tonight?
Yeah, I got Astros. I think it'll be. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think the Astros will jump out fairly early, and then Verlander boat race at something like 3-1.
Yeah, you saw the over-under 7. I thought that's way too much for a Verlander-Strasburg
matchup. Feels pretty high. I know Verlander hasn't been awesome in the first inning, but after inning one, he's been pretty damn good.
Go Stros.
And Strasburg is going to be tough. So
you got Will Harris, but they don't.
Man.
You do. You also have Osuna.
Yeah.
Sometimes that goes the other way on you.
and who in the world would have thought that you'd also say that you have Joe Smith?
Yeah, Joe
How
Smith.
How about that?
I'm like super excited about it. We got Smith and Will Harris. I would have never said
Presley,
that.
No.
I wouldn't have said that in like, June. Yeah. I definitely wouldn't have said it in 2018 or 17. Yeah. But now, man, things have really changed. Pumped.
I'm going to work on my sinker and my submarine stuff in the office.
You got to do it.
All right. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. We'll see you guys.
There he is. Lance Zierlein, the one and only NFL Network, and of course The Bench every Monday through Friday. And if you are Sons of Benches and you listen to them, then you should also listen to us. We appreciate Lance stopping down the hallway when he's crawling out of his cave from doing NFL film study. We have one segment to go on the show. We turn it over to the Blitz next. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, Joel in studio on a Tuesday. I'm out tomorrow. You guys have Jerome Solomon.
Boom.
Yep. And then I'll be back the rest of the week.
Are you going to send me pictures of the baby?
The baby. I will get you guys hopefully some photos, not the ones of.
I won't tweet them out. I don't
her
want
first
you
appearance
to,
on the planet.
Yeah, no, but, we don't want to see like all bundled up
one
and clean
ski cap and
I don't. I want to see the baby all cleaned up and pretty.
I do. We do have from Taylor's birth a really neat. Picture where I was, you know, you wear the scrubs and everything, and then as they have to do the handprint footprint,
right?
They actually take once they do the actual blotter thing for the records for the baby, they then take the remaining and they put the handprints and the footprints on your actual scrubs.
And you get to keep
and
those.
We save the scrubs.
Nice.
And then there's a really cool picture of me holding her for the first time.
Yeah.
That we were looking back at pictures the other night, and I was like, "Yeah, that's something that you never forget."
Oh, I bet
it's really awesome.
Are you gonna get the kid's footprints tattooed on you somewhere?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't do tattoos. I'm not a fan. I've never been a tattoo.
One
now, if you
shoulder.
Want to put a couple on your ass cheek or something like that, we could probably arrange to have like a stencil.
What? Why would I get your kid's footprints? That's just
because you don't
creepy.
Want kids.
What on earth?
You don't want kids. So as a loyal suspect, you might want to have.
Look, I got another man's kid's feet tattooed on my ass. Huh. I can't think of a creepier thing to do.
Weren't you thinking about doing it with the cat paws?
No, well, I would get the cat paws.
See,
yeah, my two dead cats
I'll tell you
now.
What, you get the cat paws.
I mean, it's too late now to go
no,
back.
No, it isn't. Didn't
They're
you get,
cremated.
No,
it is too
but
late.
But before they cremated them, didn't they do those,
gonna throw
didn't
some
they
ashes
do those footprint
there?
Things?
One of them. The other one, they screwed it up. They screwed up the other one. I can't do one and not the other. God, are you kidding me? That other cat would haunt me. No way.
Okay.
No. I already have enough. Never mind. I almost said some dirty things on there.
And the only thing that bumps me out is if the Astros win tonight, I'd love to be talking World Series championships and all of that stuff. But priorities, like I said, even when Lisa tried to tease me with, well, after the baby's born, you know, you can go to work. And I was like, no. Because I just...
Now, I'm going to ask you selfishly, would you rather your kid be born on the day they win the World Series or the day after?
Yeah, I thought about that driving into work today.
Huh?
That I could always say you were born on the day that the Astros won the World Series.
Or lost it.
Yeah.
There's always right. that opportunity.
Well, but I mean, yeah. I mean, or in the case of if they win tonight, then I could say you were born right the day after the Astros won the World Series.
You could, and you guys could name the baby after an Astro or just name it Orbit.
And neither of those things are going to happen.
Call it Orbit if they win and tomorrow.
That's not going to happen.
No? Well, I like that. Right, Nick? Orbit blank? That sounds good.
Sounds terrible.
Thank you, Nick.
Awful, I mean, we man. Were doing so good. We got 3 minutes left in the show. You could have just rolled with it, but no. You don't like that? What about Junction Jack blank?
No.
No?
No.
What's the name of the dude on the train?
I was going to say, you know what we could
do? So much?
We're just going to go Baby Dynamite.
What's
instead
his name?
Of Bobby Dynamite.
I hate that guy. I don't know why I hate him so much.
How did he not? He had to get in trouble, by the way, when Fox caught him sleeping.
No.
Fox caught him sleeping during the either the Yankee series or this series. They caught him sleeping in the train, asleep at the wheel.
I bet he was drunk.
And they showed it, and Joe Buck and Smoltz, I think it was, they were making fun of him. And I was like, somebody in game ops and game presentation
is
going to be really pissed they got him sleeping.
Yeah. See, I'll do it. I don't know why I don't like that guy. He's never
met
him.
Well, then you can wear overalls because you've been tweeting about him.
Did tweet about overalls. Yeah. I don't know why I hate that guy, but I'm sure he's nice. But that goes back years.
No, remember we wanted to have him on the show one time, and they said that he had to go through his.
Oh, that was why I hate him.
Appearance booking person at the Astros and get super.
Hey, Rip Van Winkle, drive the train, lame.
Let's hope that train's driving a lot tonight.
Yeah,
that would be great. All right, fellas, enjoy Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. I'll be back
tomorrow.
On Thursday. Thank
hope
you very
everybody
much.
Is healthy and safe.
Yes, appreciate that, and appreciate you all, the suspects. I will be back Thursday, but tune in tomorrow for a Way Back Wednesday with Jerome Solomon joining Barry and Nick. You guys have a great night, everybody. Go Stros. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.